You may be seated. How many of you this evening want prayer? How many need prayer? How many don't know what you need? Is he going to pray for us? Yeah, you better believe it. But before we do, let's talk about a few things here concerning revival, and then we're going to lay hands on those that want prayer. I want you to go with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Let me say something about the move of the Holy Spirit. When we start to talk about the move of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what, it's got nothing to do with us. Oh, you listen to me. It's got nothing to do with us. It's not our move. We cannot make something happen. I've met ministers over the years that try to make something happen. You can't make a move of God. You can't even make a night where God moves. It's either going to be God moving by the Spirit or you doing something in the flesh. Are you listening to me? We can't make something happen. That's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit for everything that we do. And when I begin to look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, you know, Jesus said this. He said, I didn't come down to do my own will, but I came down to do the will of him that sent me. So in other words, Jesus is telling us, I have a will. Jesus had a will just like we have a will. The difference is Jesus surrendered his will to the will of the Father. Hello? He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. The plan that God had for Jesus, that Jesus would come to this earth, be born of a virgin. But listen, the end result was that Jesus would die on the cross. That was the plan. People say, why did God let that happen? Because that was the plan for mankind. Before Jesus did that, we could not come into the presence of God like we can come in now. Hello? So that was the plan. The plan was to die on the cross and go to hell. Jesus went to hell for you and I, so you and I don't have to go there. The Bible says he went to hell and he stripped the devil. He took away all his power and all of his authority. He took away the keys of hell, death, and the grave. So in other words, death does not mean anything to us as a believer. Are you listening to me? Because death to the believer means our physical body doesn't function anymore. But our spirit man is alive unto God. And so the moment they separate, our spirit man goes into the presence of God Almighty. And then it is life for eternity. Are you listening to me? So we cannot die. As a believer, we cannot die. The physical body, yes, the physical body will die, but the spirit man will never. Hello. But our spirit and man's alive unto God. So when our physical body dies, we go straight into heaven. We go straight into the glory of God. And I probably think this, when we get there, we're going to probably wonder why we didn't come sooner. Hello. It's much like when you move to Texas. You wonder why it took you so long. Hello. I think it's going to be the same when we get to heaven. We're going to go, man, I should have come here sooner. This is amazing. Well, it's more than amazing. I don't even know. I can't even put words to this. Hello. That was the plan. So Jesus went to hell, stripped the devil of all his power and authority, took away the keys of hell, of hell, death, and the grave. Let me tell you what. There's nobody that goes to hell that comes out. But the devil couldn't hold Jesus there. Because that was not the plan that God had. Hello. Now, look at this in verse 11. It says, but if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you. But if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit went down to hell and took Jesus right out of hell and raised him from the dead. Hello. The devil couldn't keep him there because that wasn't the plan of God. Just like the devil cannot make you go to hell because that's not the plan of God. People go to hell because it's their own choice. We do snuff and sin because it's our own choice. The devil's not making us do anything. Let me tell you what. The Bible says God doesn't tempt anybody, neither can God be tempted. But every time there's a temptation that comes our way, God always gives us a way out of it. So there's not a temptation that comes our way that is too big and we go, oh, we were just tempted and we just couldn't help it. I mean, there was no way out. No, there's always a way out of the temptation. Hello. A temptation is something that you can give into. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted of the devil for 40 days. In other words, the temptations that Jesus had, he could have given into them. But he chose not to. God gave him a way out. Let me tell you what the way out. The way out was the Word. Because every time the temptation came, he took the Word. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Why? Because the Word of God is our foundation that we stand upon. So when the devil comes to give you a temptation to try to drag you off in some direction, get to the Word. Use the Word against him. Use the two-edged sword against him. Hello. Speak and decree and declare the Word. No, devil, it is written. Hello. That's why we have to know what the Bible says. Pain comes on your body. Thoughts go through your mind. You know, my grandma and my granny and my mother, they all died of this same pain. I know all about this stuff. It's hereditary. It runs through the family. And when you start talking like that and you start believing that, guess what? You're going to die of the same thing. But when that pain comes on your body, immediately you say, no, devil, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. It is written, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, I was healed. Therefore, I am healed right now. And I is healed tomorrow. I'm not in any way, shape, form, or fashion going to take on anything that my mother or my grandmother or my great-grandmother or my ancestors died of. Because God's the plan has changed. I said the plan has changed. Maybe they accepted that, but we don't. Hello, because we know better. We know what the Word says. Come on now. That's why I appreciate this church and the fact that every Sunday morning Pastor Bob lays the foundation of the Word. Let me tell you what, there's churches you go to that there's no foundation of the Word being laid in the hearts and lives of the believers. So they have no ground. They don't know how to stand. They don't know how to believe God. That's why we hit the offering so hard as we do. Because we want you, when you go out of here, you have a foundation, you have the Word on the inside of you that you can stand. Let me tell you what, we've been here since October last year, the 23rd. There's not a Sunday that's gone by that the Word has never been preached. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about Sunday mornings. Always is a foundation of the Word being taught. That's why I believe there's so many strong Christians in the house, because of the foundation of the Word that's been taught for so many years in this church. Are you listening to me? But that doesn't happen all over the place, I guarantee you. Hello. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. If we get this revelation tonight that the Spirit of the living God that went down to hell and took Jesus out of hell and then raised him from the dead, that same Spirit dwells and lives on the inside of us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he lives on the inside of us. We are carriers of the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I carry the Holy Spirit within me. You carry the Holy Spirit within you. Huh. Ever heard this scripture? Great is he that's in you than he that is in the world. What are we talking about? We are talking about the Holy Spirit that is living within us. He's greater. I said He's greater. He's greater than anything out there in the world. And the fact has already been proven by the fact that He went to hell, took Jesus out, and then raised Him from the dead 3 days. Hello? What I find so much fun is the fact that Jesus went right into the devil's backyard and then went right into his living room. And in front of all those little Pee Wee Herman things running around the place, He took away all His power and authority. I love it. I like it a lot. Oh, you listen to me. I heard one preacher say, Jesus never went to hell. He did this up in the heavenlies. Really? You got a scripture? Hello? You're smoking some bad weed. That's what you're doing. No, He went to hell. So you and I don't have to go there. You know that the Bible says that the devil walks around like a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He's like one. Seeking whom he may devour. So in other words, here's what the Bible's telling me, is when the devil comes around, he's looking for who he can devour. That means he can't devour everybody. Because I got the greater one living on the inside of me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. So when the devil comes around me, whoa, we bust him in the chops at what we do. It is written, devil. Hello. Glory to God. Some of you need to get a little freer, get a little excited. I'm going to think we're in a Methodist church here this evening. Come on now, somebody. I mean, is it only me that's excited about this word? The Bible says that the devil is a defeated foe. And I can tell you right now, I believe this one day that when God reveals the devil to us and we see what the devil looks like, I think we might fall on our back with our feet in the air, waving our hands and laughing uncontrollably, and then stand up and look at our neighbor and say, could you slap me a few times? Because I cannot believe that I was afraid of that. I cannot believe that put me through so much hell down on the earth. He's a defeated foe. He's already defeated. He's just, man, listen, he is so brain dead that he's running around trying to disrupt everything that he can. But if he read the book of Revelations, he would probably just go to hell. Hello. Get a jump start on his vacation. Hello. Because he's going there anyway. He's just trying to see how many he can get there, and he's just trying to come and harass the believer. He doesn't want you to get a revelation of the Word. He doesn't want you to get a revelation of the anointing and walk in the power of God. Because he knows when you do, you become dangerous to him and to his kingdom. When we get up in the morning, we want the alarm bells to go off in hell. He's alive. He's awake. Oh! Fear should come upon them. Are you listening to me? Because they know there's somebody out there that's going to go and going to go win the lost and lay hands on the sick and cast out some devils. Hello? Walk in the blessing, the joy, the peace that God has. Amen. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We're the temple. Our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. Get that connection. Everywhere you go, he goes. Mm. You mean he was with me last night? Yes. Where were you? Let me tell you something. When we go for the pedicure this week, he's with us. He doesn't look at me and say, Basil, I ain't going in there with you for that pedicure. I'll just wait outside the door. No, he's with us. Hello? We were locking up the church one night. We had a revival in Detroit, Michigan. They were there for like 3 to 4 weeks. And locking up the church one night, and I was talking to the pastor, and there was music playing out of the soundboard and coming through the speakers. And he was shutting everything down. We were just talking about revival and the move of God. And then I said to him, hey, Pastor, let's put the music off so we can get out of here. He goes, no, I'm leaving that on. I said, why? He said, because I want to keep the presence of God here for tomorrow morning's meeting. He said, I want this anointing just to stay, and I want the Holy Spirit to stay. And I'm thinking to myself, not the Holy Spirit I brought. Because when I walk out of here, he walks out with me. Because I might need him at 3 a.m. And the devil comes to my hotel room, and I might need the Holy Spirit. I can't say, hey, devil, just wait a moment. Let me run down to the church. I think I left the Holy Spirit back there. I need to go fetch him. Can you wait for me? Just time out, you know. Hello. Now, I can tell you right now, we've seen some stuff back in Africa, and I don't want to get into all of that, but let me tell you what, I've woken up out of a deep sleep shouting the name of Jesus because of what was happening in the room. Are you listening to me? My wife one night said to me, man, you didn't sleep last night. I went, oh, no, I slept. She said, no, you prayed in the Spirit all night. I heard you praying in tongues all night. I said, no, I was sleeping. Obviously, the Spirit was strong, but the flesh was a little weak. So the flesh was sleeping, but the Spirit man was just praying in the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Because there was a time we were ministering to a lot of African people. I'm just like a young man, and I'm like, let's go down to where the witch doctor is. Let's go and challenge the witch doctor. Of course, the witch doctor heard we were coming, so he ran away. We walked through his little hut that he had and looked at all his bones and all his stuff like that. And we prayed, pled the blood of Jesus Christ over the place, and then left. But we were messing around in the devil's kingdom. Are you listening to me? And so he thought he'd come pay me a visit, but he didn't understand, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hello? Never caused fear to rise up. We just, you know, I just look at it this way. When the devil attacks us in any area, then we go and attack him in the same area. Hello? We're not going to lie down and play dead. Hello? Same spirit lives within us. Can you imagine what we as believers, if we have that revelation, can you imagine what we can do for the kingdom on a daily basis? For a sinner to come in, the Holy Spirit has to draw them in. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus. So everywhere we go, the Spirit of the living God's on the inside of us. What does the Holy Spirit want to do? He wants to draw people to Jesus. So everywhere we go, if we let the Holy Spirit move through us, guess what's going to happen? People are going to be drawn to Jesus. It's not hard. It's not hard work at all. We're just the vessel. We're just the carrier. Hello? When you make a great meal and you put it in a container in the kitchen, the container's not complaining about, my God, this is hard work to make this meal. No, the container didn't make the meal, you did. We're not the healer. We're not the savior. We're not the one that can bring joy. We're not the one that can bring peace. But we are carriers of the anointing. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit. We're carriers of the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And He's the one that brings healing, that brings joy, that brings peace, that brings salvation, that reflects everything back up to Jesus and back up to the cross. Amen. And listen, folks, this is what revival is all about. See, I love Joy. I really love you, Joy. I love the joy of the Holy Ghost. Will you listen to me? I love the joy of the Holy Ghost. But listen, that's not revival. That's just part of the wind of the Spirit that blows. And yes, we need joy. Yes, we must have joy. Joy is a very great part of what God's doing in the body. The body of Christ are too sad. They need joy. I love drinking of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you what. Drinking of the new wine of the Holy Ghost is not revival. Revival is change. Revival is when we allow the Holy Spirit to come and change us on the inside so that we become different people. Hello. Before revival, I remember when I was a young man, I had a major temper on me. I mean, I drive down the road in my car. If you cut me off, listen, you better know Jesus because you're about to meet him. Hello. You can ask my wife. I mean, look, I'm very laid back. And because the anointing has totally transformed my life. Now I will say this, I do draw the line in the sand. Just because I'm laid back doesn't mean to say I'm not a man and I want to protect what I have to protect. So, you know, people get off to me. They can say much whatever they want to say to me. My wife gets more upset with them than I get upset with them. Well, you listen to me. But you mess with my wife or my children, a break of your face. I do it in love. Amen. So it doesn't mean to say I'm not going to protect what I love and what God's given me to protect. But let me say this. It's totally different to what it was before. Why? Because I allowed the Holy Spirit to come and change me on the inside and take all that garbage out. I was talking to some folks over the weekend. We had lunch with them. And I said, listen, I can't afford to hold a grudge. I can't afford to do stuff that's going to hinder the move of the Holy Spirit. I cannot afford it. I just cannot afford it. I've got to stay under the spout where the glory comes out, and I've got to be in a position, as a vessel, that God can come at any time and change me. Turn me upside down. Shake me some more. Change whatever He wants to on the inside of me. Because at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus anyway. It's all about the Holy Spirit, and all we are is a vessel or a carrier of the pure Holy Spirit and the anointing. Signs and wonders and miracles will happen because of the Holy Spirit that's within us. Amen. Do you think if the church could get a revelation of this message, do you think it might change the way the church operates? Hello? Do you think if the Methodist got a revelation of this, or the Baptist got a revelation of this, do you think it might change the way they operate? Do we have any Methodists in the house? X. Any Baptist? X. X. Any Catholics? X. Any Pentecostals? X. I grew up Pentecostal, then God set me free. Amen. Are we in the Pentecostal church? Pentecostal church, okay. Hallelujah. I just love messing with the Pentecostals. Amen. And I really can mess with them because I am one. But then God set me free. Amen. I heard a Baptist preacher. He got up one day and he's preaching. And he said, once I was a Baptist, but Jesus set me free. And I mean, it just cracked me up. And I've never forgotten that. Amen. So now I use that line. I was once a Pentecostal, but the Lord set me free. But listen, at the end of the day, it's all about Him. It's all about the anointing. It's all about Jesus. And all we are is the carrier with a vessel. Amen. Get a revelation of who's in you. Who's in you? Who's living on the inside of you? It's the precious Holy Spirit. We have a direct connection with heaven through here, through the inner man, through the Spirit of the living God. We have a direct connection with God. That's why I love to pray in the Spirit. I love praying in English, but I love to pray in the Spirit, because the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you pray as you ought to pray. Have you ever prayed in English and then run out of words and then start repeating yourself? And then when you start analyzing what you're saying, you go, well, it doesn't sound quite right. Hello? Have you ever heard people pray in English and you go, my God, what was that about? Because it's just a prayer of doubt and unbelief. The best thing that can do is just pray in the Spirit, because then you pray as you ought to pray. Because the Holy Spirit's praying through you. The Holy Spirit never prays fear. The Holy Spirit never prays doubt and unbelief. The Holy Spirit prays faith. And when you speak in tongues and pray in the Spirit, you pray. The Bible says you speak mysteries unto God. The devil doesn't even know what you're talking about. Neither do we, but it doesn't really matter. People say, what are you saying? I don't know, but it's good. Say, how do you know? Because I can feel it on the inside of me. The Bible says, when I pray in the Spirit, I build myself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I feel it on the inside of me. What are you saying? I don't know, but it's good. Hallelujah. That's why pray in the Spirit as much as you can through the day, as much as you can drive down the road, pray in the Spirit. And you don't even need to pray so anybody can hear you. You can just drive down, you can have other people in the car, and you're just praying in the Spirit. Hello? And you pray and pray, and suddenly there's an excitement that hits on the inside of you. Ooh, then you might not be able to contain it. You might have to get other people around you praying with you. Amen. But that's what praying in the Spirit does. That's why it's so important we know who we are in Christ Jesus. We know who we're carrying with us. And we have this sense of the anointing on us all the time. Any time of the day or night, the anointing is there. It's always on tap. Amen. Whenever you need it, it's there. Why? Because whenever you need the Holy Spirit, He's there. He leads us. He guides us. He's our comforter. Come on now. You feeling a little down? Let me try this side, church, over here. Hey, you feeling a little down? See, they don't respond like you do. So just shh. There's always a happy side. I don't know what the deal is, but anyway. So, you're feeling a little down. You lift your hands to heaven, and you just begin to pray in the Spirit. And you might not feel like you want to do that in the natural. Your flesh might go, no, I don't want to do that. Just slap yourself up the side of the head a few times. Tell your flesh to shut up. We're going to pray in the Spirit. And then you pray. Listen, it won't be 5, 7, 8 minutes later, and all of a sudden this excitement starts coming on the inside of you. You start tapping your foot and worshiping God. And next thing you know, you're having a drink of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. And next thing you think, the joy is bubbling out your belly, and you're praying in the Spirit. And you're just having a great time with God. That's the way it goes. Hello? We should never be depressed as a believer. We should never be depressed as a believer. I saw that. We should never be depressed as a believer. See, I see a lot more than what people think I see. I'm watching. I'm always watching. We should never be depressed, because the Spirit of the Lord lives on the inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes right across this building just for the next few moments. I'm going to give you an invitation this evening. Maybe you've come into this place tonight. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. There's no better time than tonight to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He loves you so much, just as you are. Sometimes we try to get ourselves into a position where we feel like we're perfect, we can get before God. But we can never make ourselves perfect. But He does. He perfects us every day. You come as you are, because He loves you as you are. Maybe you've come into this place tonight, maybe you have given your heart to the Lord, but you're just not serving Him like you should be. I'm not even talking about going to church. Folks, I'm talking about having a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit every day of your life. You're not serving Him like you should be. Maybe you've grown a little lukewarm. Maybe the friends you hang out with are pulling you out of church and pulling you aside and causing you to go a little astray. You can rededicate your life tonight in this place. You can have a fresh start tonight in this place. Maybe you've come into this place. Maybe you have given your heart to the Lord. But the devil keeps lying to you, telling you you're not saved. You can make sure of your salvation. You don't have to live that way any longer. Make sure. Know that you know that you know. That if I die right now, I go to be with Jesus. You've never given your heart to the Lord. You need to rededicate your life. Make that fresh start tonight. You need to make sure of your salvation. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Is there anyone here this evening, while every head's bowed, if there's anyone here this evening, just with an uplifted hand, you can say, I'll just say this, I want you to pray for me. Just lift your hand up quickly, right across this building. Is there anybody in the house that we need to pray for this evening? Anybody? You know, you might never have another opportunity. This might be your last opportunity. You might sit here and say, look, I've been a part of Calvary for many a year. I'm not talking about being a part of a church. You might say, I go to this church, go to that church. I'm not talking about being part of a church. I'm talking about being part of the family of the Lord. The worst thing that can happen this evening is you walk out of here and something happens and you die. And if your life is not right with God, where are you going? We have this short opportunity down here on this earth to make right with God and then serve Him. But we have the rest of eternity where we have to live with the choice that we made down here on this earth. Once you die, it's over. You never have that opportunity again. That's why we want to give these opportunities to people to make right with Jesus. Is there anybody here this evening? You haven't raised your hand. God's tugging at your heart right now. He's speaking to you. Anybody in the house, you feel God's talking to you, just raise your hand quickly and then put it back down again. Anybody? Anybody in the house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit goes right across this place, just ministering to the hearts of the believers, ministering to those that might need a touch of you in this area, of either salvation or rededication or making sure that, Lord God, the Holy Spirit would tug at their heart, Lord. Father, I pray that if they don't respond this evening, that this night will not be the last opportunity they have. But somebody would cross their path this week that they would make right with Jesus. Lord, if there's anybody watching by way of the internet, I pray that you touch their heart right now. Put somebody across their path that can minister to them, Lord. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at me, everybody, look at me quickly. You know, one of the worst things we can do is live in fear of tomorrow. It's one of the worst things we can do. And I remember as a kid growing up, I mean, I responded to the altar call many times because I didn't know. And when once I knew, it was over. I had this revelation. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to be with Jesus. I don't have a problem. Will you listen to me? But we don't have to live that way. You know, you can't force anybody to serve God. But we all will stand before God one day. Every one of us will stand. Individually will stand. I will not stand there and my wife give account for my life. I have to give account for my life. My wife has to give account for her life. Are you listening to me? And I can tell you right now, you cannot attend these meetings. You cannot be a part of Calvary. You cannot come through these doors and say to God one day, I never ever heard an invitation. Because He's going to remind you of these nights and Sunday mornings and any other time you've been around these folks. Hello. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to, as believers, we need to go out of our way bring in the lost. We need to. We need to. We need to. I've got a feeling that some of you, you don't bring in the lost because you get him saved before you can get him yet. Did you get that? You get him saved before you can get him to church. Hello? And I think that's probably what goes on here. A lot of people, you want to talk to them about Jesus, you get him saved, you're not even inviting them to church because you get him saved out there. Amen. You know, every baby that is born needs a father and a mother. Every new believer needs a church home that they can come to get fed, to get taken care of, to be nurtured. Imagine having 100 baby Christians in the house. Can you imagine what we could do with them? Lay the word foundation. They have no idea what's going on. You can lay a fresh word, a fresh foundation. They're not coming in here with mixed up stuff from other churches, other denominations. They don't even know anything about this stuff. Can you imagine how you can teach them and cause them to grow up in the things of God? Can you imagine what they can do for the Lord? Amen. So it's very important. It's very important. We bring in the lost, bring in the baby Christians. Get people saved, bring them in. Amen. There's a lot of people out there that need joy. Just like there's a lot of people in here that need joy. Amen. But there's a lot of people out there that need joy. A lot of people out there that need a healing in their body. Amen. What a great place to be. The carpet's nice and clean. I think it might even be padded. Hello. What a great place to be. Come and get healed, to be made whole, and to receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, let me say this, and then we're going to pray for people. Go for your loved ones. Go for your loved ones. Because I think it's going to be very hard on that day when we stand before Jesus and we see our loved ones going to hell. Hello? Come on now. Anybody got any loved ones that are unsaved? Let's do this right now. Everybody stand. You have a loved one that's unsaved. Quickly stand. We're going to stand in the gap for them right now. We're going to pray for them. When I pray, you call their name. You tell God who they are. We're going to believe God for their souls. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So raise your right hand to heaven and let me pray this prayer for everybody. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for every person that's standing here this evening. They're standing in the gap for a loved one. Tell God who it is right now. They're standing in the gap for their loved one because their loved one is not serving you. So right now, Lord God, we put a hook in their mouth and we bring them into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that God, you send people across their path that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are on fire for you, that can minister the word, that can minister the love of Jesus into their families. That these family members, Lord Jesus, would find you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, even if you have to send somebody that sows a seed, send somebody that waters a seed, and then send somebody in that can harvest that heart. As for me and my house, Lord God, we will serve the Lord. And that goes for every one of my family members. So we stand in the gap tonight. We present them before you, Father. And we call them saved. We call them born again in the name of Jesus. Lord, it doesn't matter how impossible it looks. Because that which is impossible with man is possible with you. We believe you, God, for the harvest in our family. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now just lift both hands to heaven and thank the Lord. Thank Him. Thank Him for the harvest in your family. Thank Him for the harvest in your family. Thank Him for those loved ones that are born again. Thank Him for those loved ones that are born again. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that my family's saved. Thank you, Lord, that my family are born again. Thank you, Lord, that my family are full of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord God, that one day when I stand before you, I stand before you with my entire family. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now just give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's hard when the family look at you. It's hard to get them saved because they look at you in a different light. But that's what we have to pray. We have to pray God send somebody across their path that can sow a seed. Somebody else can come and water the seed. And somebody else come and harvest. And if you didn't harvest, that's okay. As long as they harvest. As long as they come into the kingdom, it doesn't really matter how. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.